friends, this is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? Did you know a member of the grass family is considered to be the fastest growing plant in the world? It's a member of the true grass family, known as Poaceae, or also known as Bambusia. We all know it as bamboo. These tall stalks are actually the largest members of the grass family. In the warmer climates of Asia, they are capable of growing as much as 39 inches per day. How would you like to keep up with mowing that field? In fact, bamboo grows so fast that standing in one of these bamboo forests on a sunny day, you can actually hear the plants growing. There are around 1,500 different species of bamboo in the world that come in several different colors, such as black, green, gold, gray, red, yellow, and powdered blue. The bamboo plant is also extremely versatile, with an extraordinary range of uses, such as, let me take a breath, bicycle frames, baskets, bird cages, blinds, boats, bridges, brushes, buckets, canoes, carts, charcoal, chopsticks, clothing, cooking utensils, diapers, fans, fences, firewood, fishing rods, food, steamer, furniture, garden tools, handcrafts, hats, incense, musical instruments, paper, particle board, pens, pipes, roofing, scaffold, tableware, toilets, toothpicks, toys, umbrellas, and walking sticks. In fact, during World War II, in the South Pacific, the U.S. Navy even used bamboo to reinforce concrete. Pretty incredible when you remember that bamboo is just gigantic grass. Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live, brought to you by Amazing Facts Ministries. Are you looking for a clear, concise answer to your most challenging Bible questions? Maybe you're struggling to understand difficult passages of Scripture. If so, you've come to the right place. Join us now as we open God's Word to discover His will and find honest, practical answers to your Bible-related questions. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible question, call us Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, let's join our host, author, speaker, and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Hello, friends. Welcome to a fresh installment of Bible Answers Live. And if you're tuning in for the first time, you can probably tell from our title, this is a live, interactive Bible study. And you're invited to call in with your Bible questions. We do have some lines open. And that phone number, one more time, is 800-463-7297. The acronym is 800-GOD-SAYS, 800-463-7297. Keep a pencil or a pen handy. We'll be giving out some websites during the broadcast that will direct you to a number of free Bible study resources. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Good evening, listening friends. Pastor Doug, let's begin the program with prayer. Dear Father, once again, we thank you that we have this opportunity to study your word, and we ask your special blessing upon this program. Be with those who are listening, wherever they might be. We know that the Bible is your book, and we need your leading in order to correctly understand it. So guide our minds today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Doug, you opened the program talking about bamboo, and what a versatile grass that is. You know, I spent some time in the Orient, and I was fascinated by how they use bamboo for scaffolding, and it goes up story after story after story on the sides of these buildings, and it's strong, and people are climbing all over it. And then, of course, you mentioned that it's such a fast-growing plant.
It's amazing. Probably everybody listening here, if you've ever been to a Chinese restaurant, you've eaten bamboo, because they put the little bamboo shoots in a variety of dishes. But it's just phenomenal how quickly it grows, and some of it is, you know, 7-8 inches around. And yet it's grass, is really what it is. It's in the grass family, and it behaves like grass. And even though they grow up like trees in forests, they have a very short lifespan. They die off after 4 or 5 years, and new bamboo has to grow. Reminds us of that verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. And the grass will wither, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. God's word never fails. Now, a lot of people misunderstand the Bible, and they might misapply the Bible, But if you study the Bible the way that Jesus intended, and if we look at it the way the apostles use the scriptures, people won't make those mistakes, and we can have a true understanding of this constitution for human life. We have a free resource that talks about how to study the Bible, and Pastor Ross is going to tell us about that.
Pastor Doug, the book is entitled The Ultimate Resource, and I think you're very familiar with this book. You wrote the book, Dealing with the Bible. And for anyone listening, we'd love to send this to you absolutely free. Just call our resource line. It's 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book, The Ultimate Resource, talking about the Bible, and we'll get that right out to you.
Now, Pastor Ross, when we had our broadcast last week, we knew that folks were getting pretty stirred up about a popular prediction that Judgment Day was going to happen yesterday. And we explained to everybody that we would be back today. And praise the Lord, we're here. There's a lot of folks that may be discouraged or confused out there because there was a popular radio host who had been predicting far and wide on over 150 different outlets that May 21st was going to be Judgment Day and the world was going to end. And we were respectfully disagreeing. A lot of very dear people that work at the Family Radio organization also did not agree with Mr. Camping's Bible interpretation. And I think that we were really concerned for a couple of reasons. One being that making these wild predictions is dangerous in that if people get caught up in this, as many did, they, being sincere, they invest their last penny into trying to tell everybody to prepare for this date. In spite of the fact Jesus said no man knows the day or the hour, and just countless people sold their homes, they cashed out their retirement and their bank accounts. Some argued in the families, and they left their families to go on the road and tell the world that everything was ending, and it just caused tremendous turmoil. The other big thing is it gives the unbelievers and skeptics and cynics in the world fresh reasons, fresh material to mock the Bible and Christianity. But the Bible never does tell us to pick a date for Jesus' coming. This is an abuse of the Scripture. And, you know, it makes us very sad. We know that it has bitterly disappointed some of the people that were believing that today they'd be in glory. And we prepared a website knowing this was going to be a great disappointment. Amazing Facts prepared a website just a little while back to try and minister to folks that might be confused about this. We have special messages there, study material. Pastor Ross, you want to tell us about that?
You know, the website is entitled After May 21, and you can just type that into your search engine, or you can put
.com,
it into the
right?
address. Yes, aftermay21.com. aftermay21.com. You know, Pastor Doug, this I think is particularly important, this website, for those who really believe that something significant was going to happen on May 21. As you mentioned, there's probably a lot of people out there who are very disappointed, wondering what went wrong, where did we misinterpret Scripture. This website will give you a clear understanding of what the Bible says with reference to the second coming of Christ.
You know, something else that struck me is we've received a lot of calls. Matter of fact, this website, I should say, in 5 days got 172,000 visits. And here in Northern California on Friday, we did an interview with Fox News, and that aired three or four times that day. And then we had two other national radio interviews dealing with this subject. Amazing Facts sort of specializes in prophecy, so a lot of people were calling saying, what's your view on this? And what amazed me was how many people, even though they didn't believe it, seemed to get a little edgy with the idea, what if? And it's like they had to ask themselves. Everyone became a little introspective and, well, I don't think it's going to happen, but. And a lot of folks were calling me kind of teasing, but there was a nervous sound in their voice, like, well, I don't want to be too bold about this. What if? And I do want to remind everybody, as we said on the Fox News interview, Jesus is coming. Mm-hmm. We believe that firmly. We didn't think that it would be yesterday because there's so many prophecies that still remain unfulfilled that are preparing for that. But we do believe we've entered the beginning of the end. Jesus said in Matthew 24, these are the beginning of sorrows. And I think we've entered that time. But the devil's used this. We all know the story of the boy who called wolf. And so when a minister starts to say, this is the day, the sky is falling, and it doesn't happen, when that time really does come, the devil has made the world less prepared. And so it's a great concern. And please visit the website. If you know anybody who's been caught up in this, some of you know people who've quit their jobs and a variety of sacrifices that have been made, please direct them to, very simple, aftermay21.com. And then send it out. Put it on your Facebook. Link it. There's a lot of very discouraged people out there. Aftermay21.com. I should let you know Family Radio is operating normally today. Their website now has absolutely no reference to this whole escapade. And everybody's sort of wondering, what is Mr. Camping going to say? Is he going to issue an apology, which I think would be appropriate? Is he going to say the date needs to be recalculated somehow? Is he going to say, as back in the days of Jonah, you know, the people repented, and so God spared everybody? Of course, I didn't notice any universal repentance happening. And so it'll be very interesting, and, you know, what he says. And I just really think we need to pray, because even this, Christ said there'll be false Christs and false prophets. This is a sign of the end. It's exactly what Jesus said was going to happen.
You know, Pastor Doug, let me also mention another website. We mentioned aftermay21.com, but we also have a website dedicated to prophecy called BibleProphecyTruth.com, which deals with the subject of the second coming or the rapture. And you can go along and look at a number of Bible passages as well as a study dealing with that. BibleProphecyTruth.com and then aftermay21.com. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Mark, who is listening in Knoxville, Tennessee. Mark, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, thank you for taking my call. Can I give you a little tease about yesterday before getting to my question?
Sure.
We use screen names on the internet, you know, and my screen name was The Skipper, and it showed the Skipper's picture for a profile picture. And my question was, did Gilligan go up in the rapture? We have searched the entire island for him and can't find him.
Well, I had some friends that were calling me and saying, Doug, are you still here? Or did you leave us? And so yeah, a lot of people were calling. So it was on people's minds. Your question, Mark?
Yeah, it's about Luke 21:24. I noticed that Jerusalem was going to be trodden down of the Gentiles till the end of the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, which I understood ended 44 years ago.
Yeah, there are a couple of views, and let me read this for our listeners. We always have a lot of people driving down the road, and it says, and there shall be, what did we say? Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and will be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Many people say that, of course, this is the dispersion of the Jews, which Luke lived to see, we believe. And then it also is referring to when Israel was reestablished as a nation. Now, then there are some who are looking at Israel now as being spiritual Israel and saying that Jerusalem, God's church, would be trodden down until there's a restoration of the truth. And so I've heard this used either way. I don't really have a disagreement on either side. Obviously, what happened to Israel as a nation? There is no other nation in the world that can claim what the Jews can claim, that they have been dispossessed three times, once in Egypt, once in Babylon, and once by the Romans, and then got back their territory again over a period of 4,000 years. There's just no other nation anywhere like that. And so that's prophetic.
Can I get to my question?
Oh, I thought that was I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know that the times of Gentiles began in 70 AD and ended in 1967 when the Jews got Jerusalem back. Now, my question is, if Obama gets his way and Israel goes back to pre-1967 borders, will that put Jerusalem back into the times of the Gentiles and therefore put the second coming off many years?
I think, well, that's a good question. First of all, as of today, I looked on the news, and President Obama is kind of restating what he meant by the 67 borders. He said that was misinterpreted. I think he took a lot of heat for that. Secondly, I think that if there is any kind of a conflict that is going to dispossess the Jews, that it's going to be the last war in some way. I think that would be, it'll just be a catastrophic war. So I don't expect that to happen again unless it happens in the context of some last great earthly battle.
Now, you said that Jerusalem's been dispossessed three times.
Well, I'm counting when Abraham lived in Salem, and then his descendants, Jacob, went down to Egypt. Then they came back. So that's one coming back. Then they were carried to Babylon. They came back. Then they were carried off by the Romans, and they came back.
Yeah, now, Isaiah 11:11, a lot of people believe that refers to nowadays, where it talks about, I will set my hand again the second time. Now, how could that refer to nowadays if the second time was Babylon rather than now?
Well, that's where we go to the other part of there being an application for spiritual Israel, because when the tree was cut down, Christ said, destroy this temple made with hands, and I will raise it up. The church actually became grafted in to the stock of Israel that you find in Romans 9. We've got a book we'll send you that goes into detail on this.
The book is entitled Spiritual Israel, written by Pastor Doug and Steve Wahlberg. And if you call our resource line, we'll send it out to you. It's 1-800-835-6747. Ask for the book Spiritual Israel, and it deals with this whole subject of what is spiritual Israel and how does that connect with literal Israel. The book again, Spiritual Israel, and the number is 800-835-6747. Our next call is Tracy, and she's listening on KEUH. Tracy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hi.
I have a question regarding the rapture. I want to know if Christians will be raptured before the tribulation or after.
I'm glad you asked. Now, there's a lot of dear Christians out there that believe one of three views on this. Two are really popular. One is that the rapture takes place before the tribulation. The other is that the rapture takes place after. There's a smaller group that believes, they're called mid-trib. They believe the rapture takes place in the middle of this tribulation. We here in this program are of the old Protestant view that there is a tribulation before the second coming, before the saints are caught up. Rapture just means to be caught up, and you find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he that endures to the end will be saved. He said there'll be great tribulation in all the world. And says, then you'll look up, you'll see your redemption drawing nigh. Paul said in the book of Acts, all that live godly will suffer persecution. No, I'm sorry, I'm misquoting. He says, it is through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God. And then another, for me, a real coup de grace on this doctrine is the seven last plagues are very similar to the plagues that fell on the Egyptians. Were the children of Israel still in Egypt when the plagues fell? And the answer is yes. It wasn't until after the 10th plague, the Passover, that they were delivered from Egypt. Will God's people still be in the world during the tribulation? The tribulation and Revelation and the seven plagues are synonymous. You just read Revelation 15 and 16. That is the great tribulation when the seven plagues fall. Will God protect us through the plagues? Yes. Did he protect Israel during the plagues that fell on Egypt? So I think there, it says in Daniel chapter 12, there's a great time of trouble such as there never was. And it's after that God's people are delivered, this great time of trouble. So we have a book on that called The Anything But Secret. It also deals with the sequence of the tribulation.
Again, the number to call is 800-835-6747, and the book, Tracy, is Anything But Secret.
Send your free copy.
Send it absolutely free. Give us a call, and we'll send it out to you. All right, let's see if we can get another call in here. We have Manuel, who is listening in Elk Grove. Manuel, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing good.
Good. I have a question on Isaiah 65, the last part of verse 20.
All right.
For the child shall die.
Yep.
And can you give me a little light on that?
Yeah, let me read it for everybody. It says, there shall no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child will die 100 years old. And people go, it's talking about heaven here. The child will die. And, you know, he goes on and continues talking about heaven. How will a child die 100 years old? The word die here in Hebrew is very similar to the word cease. And it's basically saying the child will cease to be a child at 100 years. Now, you look back in Genesis and you start finding out when men were living 900 years, it says they didn't get married until they were 100. And, you know, who was it? Isaac didn't get married till he was like 40. And Jacob was 60. I mean, they grew much. And, you know, people wanted to kill Abraham for his wife when she was 80 years old. She was so pretty. People aged more slowly. Things have been accelerated since the entrance of sin. In heaven, it's going to be restored. And children that are resurrected in heaven will not mature in 12 years like they might here, but they won't even cease being a child for 100 years. So it's just not a good translation in the King James.
And how about the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed?
That's going back to where it says in Daniel chapter 12 that some will be raised to everlasting life and some to everlasting condemnation. The wicked are forever cursed. Right. So it means even after 100 years, the sinner, there's no second chance, there's no reprieve, no mercy for them anymore. Their fate is eternal. But the child is going to enjoy their childhood for 100 years.
Okay, now I get it.
How many people 90 years old wish they could be children again? Hmm. Yeah, here you can have a 90-year-old child. See, okay, see what I'm saying?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Emmanuel.
All right, next call is Morberto, and he's listening from New Jersey. Morberto, welcome to the program.
I think, brother, whatever happened, we just lost your call.
Let's
phone clicked off. Call back. We'll take your call again.
We've got John from New York listening on WMCA. John, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor Doug Batchelor and Pastor John Ross.
Good evening. You'll have to turn your radio down, John, if you've got it on.
Yes, I'm sorry. I have it on in the background.
You're going to get confused because of the feedback. But your question?
Well, I'm a follower of Harold Camping, and I love the man dearly in God's scheme of things. I don't mean to put it that way. But and I'm very disappointed. And but what I want to ask you is that we would, according to the Bible and according to Harold, the way, because I'm totally blind, so I can't read the Bible anymore because I've lost my sight now. I've been blind for 12 years. But... In the Bible, it says that we would be warned about Judgment Day, and that was the whole thing about yesterday. Because when God came to Abraham to warn Lot about Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Jonah going to Nineveh, and Noah 7,000 years ago warning the people in that day in 120 years. They would be destroyed. Now, what am I to do now? Because I don't know. It's like a big letdown for me.
Well, you know, I am so glad that you called, John. First of all, be of good courage. Think about the disciples in the days of Jesus when they thought that Jesus, because they misunderstood the prophecies, they thought Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman power, and that he was going to sit himself on the throne of David, and that they were going to have international greatness. When he died on the cross, they were devastated. And Christ said, do not be discouraged. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. I've got a work for you to do. He still has a work for you to do, John. It was a misunderstanding, and it's unfortunate. But regarding your question about can we know, if you look in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus does want us to know when that time is near. He gives us these prophecies so that we can know when it's near. But he's very careful to say, we shouldn't be picking a day or an hour for that. I know that you've heard this over and over again because this was a common echo of people that were disagreeing with Brother Camping. But he said he wants us to know these signs, and I believe the signs are everywhere that we're near the end. But don't be discouraged. We are near the end, but we shouldn't be picking a day.
You know, we also need to recognize, John, that the Bible does separate what it refers to as the hour of God's judgment and the actual second coming of Christ. You can read in Revelation chapter 14, you have the three angels' messages. The first angel says, fear God. This is verse 7, Revelation 14:7, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him that made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. So you have this time of judgment that precedes the second coming of Christ. There are a number of other important things that still have to happen in the context of Revelation chapter 14 before Jesus is described coming on a cloud to reap the harvest of the earth. So the Bible doesn't speak about a judgment. We want to, you know, make sure that our hearts are right with God, because
yes,
there is this judgment.
Can I say something, Pastor John Ross and Pastor Doug Batchelor? Now, I do believe, even though nothing happened yesterday, I believe that now salvation is over, because I'm believing now that yesterday there will be no more salvation as of yesterday. And now October 21st was supposed to be the day that God was going to birth the whole universe. Now, I do believe, Brother Campin, that he said that Satan is sitting in the churches. The when you see the house of desolation sitting in the holy place, and that's why he said, get out of the churches, because Satan is in the churches now.
Can I, John, let me reason with you for just a moment on that. We're going to have a break in a minute, and we hate to cut you off, but just on that, I agree that there is great apostasy in the church generally. When Elijah got discouraged because of the apostasy in the church, he ran into the wilderness, and God said, what are you doing here? Get back in there and bring revival. The church needs revival. If the idea that God is no longer an organized church in the world only leaves us with the conclusion that now all he has is a disorganized church. Mm. People can still be saved into and lost from the body of Christ. We still have mission work to do. The Lord has not told us to fold our hands because salvation is over for the world. We still have work to do to spread the gospel. I think it's a real misunderstanding for Harold Camping to be telling people that no one else can be saved, that probation's closed. It hasn't closed yet. People can still be saved. When the plagues fall, when the plagues begin, probation has probably closed.
You know, that's such an important point, because there might be some listening right now that feel as though, you know, they weren't raptured, so they must be lost. Well, the good news is that God still wants to save. You know, the Bible says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the last thing we want anyone to do is to reach the point of absolute despair where they give up. You can turn to God even in sorrow and in disappointment. He's there to lift us up and to help us.
Yeah, God's Spirit is still striving with people. That's why programs like this are broadcasting the Word. If there's no more hope of people being saved, and if nobody can be lost, then a Christian radio ought to just unplug.
Mm,
there's no mission anymore.
That's right.
So, John, there is still a work to do. There's that prophecy in Revelation chapter 10 that says you must yet prophesy to peoples, nations, kings, and different languages. And so you may have thought the work was over. He's still got a work for you to do. Don't be discouraged. Please go to the website we put up. There's a lot of encouraging information there. It's called aftermay21st.com. aftermay21st.com. And I know you're blind, but maybe someone can negotiate that for you and share with you what's there. We got video and audio there as well. All right, friends, we're not going away. We're going to take more calls. Maybe you've got questions about this judgment day that was foretold yesterday, that obviously, at least the part about the great earthquake and the Lord coming, did not happen. And if you've got questions, give us a call. 800-463-7297. Taking a break. Be right back.
Don't go away. There's more Bible Answers Live in just a moment. Don't forget to tune in to Pastor Doug Batchelor's weekly television broadcast, Amazing Facts Presents, which is aired on major networks including ABC Family, The Word Network, Discovery Channel, and Superstation WGN. Check your local listings or contact us to find out when and on what channel the programs will be aired. Are you in need of additional Bible-based materials for further study? Consider Amazing Facts' free correspondence Bible study course, or our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Don't forget, friends, Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating only by God's blessing through your prayers and financial gifts. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. Welcome back to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible-related question, you can call us from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Sundays and receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. Call 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, please join us as we look to God's Word for more Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
We are back, and if you joined us along the way, friends, this is Bible Answers Live, where we do our best to give you biblical answers for your Bible questions. And if you have a question, we have a couple lines still open, 800-463-7297. That's 800-GOD-SAYS. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. And again, we just want to remind those listening, there's two websites in particular that we'd like you to jot down and take a look at. AfterMay21.com deals with this whole situation, this judgment day that was predicted. AfterMay21.com. And then also another website dedicated to Bible prophecy called BibleProphecyTruth.com. And you can study a number of great resources there dealing with Bible prophecy, the second coming, the rapture, and other things. So BibleProphecyTruth.com. All right, Pastor Doug, let's go to the phone lines and see how many calls we can get in. We have Sarah that is listening in San Diego. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Hey, my question is about being unequally yoked. I've never gotten a straight answer whenever I ask this, and the reason I'm asking is I'm in a relationship right now where I'm unsure. I am Christian. My boyfriend is Christian as well. However, I have been baptized, and he is not. So does that make a huge difference as far as, like, I mean, us being on the same page and all that? I've never been able to understand that.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you're comfortable, do you mind my asking what is your denomination background?
I go to a non-denominational church.
You go to a church that believes water baptism.
Yes.
And your boyfriend has not been baptized for what reason?
I guess he just hasn't gotten to that, you know, that point where he feels that he can. I mean, we both go to church together. We go to Bible study together. We both believe the same thing. It's just that I'm not sure if, you know, me being baptized and him not makes us unequally yoked.
All right. Well, let me share with you as clearly as I can that I do think that you've got an issue there. You've got a problem. First of all, baptism is as important to a Christian as a wedding ceremony is to a marriage. Mm-hmm. You have taken the step of making the covenant. Your boyfriend, while he's going through the motions of believing, has not taken that step. And so that commitment of baptism is a very important thing. And if you were to have a life together, and if there were ever to be children, you'd find that if he has not made that decision and you have, it does have an impact on the choices that the children make. And so, boy, I tell you, if you have a checklist of what you're looking for in the right person for a future, someone who's made that covenant, that commitment to Christ, following Christ, you know, the last words of Jesus are, go therefore teach and baptize. So that must be a priority if these are the last words of Christ. It is important. It says, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven.
You know, it might not be that he's unwilling to be baptized. Perhaps he's never had an opportunity to really study it out for himself and, mm-hmm. and see the significance of the subject. You know, we do have a book, Sarah, that I think would be very helpful. You might want to share
this
with him. It's called Baptism, Is It Really Necessary? Baptism, Is It Really Necessary? And if you'd call our resource line, I'll let you grab a pencil so you can write it down. It's 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Ask the operator for the book, Baptism, Is It Really Necessary? And we'll be happy to send that to you. You can also go to the Amazing Facts website, amazingfacts.com, and you can actually search the book and you can read it online. Baptism, Is It Really Necessary?
That's a good idea.
You know, it answers a lot of these very important questions, and I think he'd find it helpful and interesting as he studies the subject.
Yeah, whether you call for it or you read it online, it's free. We want to get the truth out. You think that might help, Sarah?
I think so. Thank you guys very much.
You're welcome. Appreciate your question. God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
Our next caller is, David. And David is listening from Queens, New York. David, welcome to the program.
Hi there, brethren.
Hi.
My question is, the verse that says, no man knoweth the hour nor the day nor the angels of heaven, not even the sun. According to Mr. Camping, the word sun was not referring to Jesus Christ, but was referring to Satan. He says because in the Greek Bible, the word sun was not capitalized. What say you?
Well, I would just have to say, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but when it comes to different understandings of theology, there are some verses that are maybe a little bit ambiguous and you take a little deeper study. There, I don't know of any Bible scholars that have thought that this verse is an issue. You will find thousands of people that might be in the Calvinistic camp. You might find thousands of people that might be in the Arminian camp of theology. Harold Campion's in a camp by himself, and I didn't mean a pun there, but he makes these things up, pardon me, and to me it just seems totally baseless. I don't know what books he's reading to get these dates and these interpretations, but Christ is speaking very clearly. He's not talking about the devil doesn't know. Why would he even say that? He's saying no man knows, not even the angels, and then he goes one step beyond the angels and said not even the Son, but the Father. Well, when Christ was on earth, Jesus is saying, look, don't be badgering me for the day and the hour. When he was in human flesh on earth, Christ did not have all knowledge simultaneously swimming around in his head. He was basically saying, look, the Father's not tipping his hand to me in my human form right now. I've laid aside my divinity, so I don't know right now. So don't bug me and say, tell us a day, like I'm keeping a secret. I don't know right now. It had nothing to do with the devil.
You know, you can also ask the question, did Jesus ever use the phrase the Son or the Son of Man anywhere in the Gospels with reference to the devil? Every time he used the phrase the Son of Man or the Son, it's always with reference to himself.
Yeah, you got to just use biblical interpretation and let the Bible explain itself, and Christ never used it that way.
What about his reference to the Greek Bible, that the word son was not capitalized? Do you happen to know, is that true or not?
Well, you know, when it comes to the Greek, there's a number of manuscripts that you can look at. You've got the different types of letters, different forms. And these Greek manuscripts do vary a little bit. You've got the Textus Receptus, which is really a culmination of manuscripts that you have the King James Version from. You also have the Alexandrian text. You've got the Byzantine texts. You've got different types of texts. So there are some slight variations, and that's where you need to look at the context. What is the context of the verse? How is it used elsewhere in the Greek manuscripts? And if you just look at the big picture and look at the context, it's pretty clear that the Son referred to in this verse is Jesus.
Yeah, and the punctuation that you have today, the reasons for punctuation, is very different from what they did in the Greek. I don't think there's any question that the word son there is referring to Jesus, the Son of Man. We're the ones that capitalize that in the King James translation.
And again, you need to ask the question, is there anywhere else in Scripture where son is ever referred to as Satan? There's just no reference, no verse where son is a name given to Satan.
That's a good point. Thank you very much, brethren.
All right, thank you.
All right, let's take a look at our next caller. We have Jane, who is calling from New York. Jane, welcome to the program.
Okay, thank you. I'm curious because they always tell you that you cannot go to prophets or to fortune tellers, and yet in the Old Testament, I came across where Saul, not only did he forbid it, but he was able to pull up a prophet from the dead and do that. So what is the contradiction there, that you're not allowed to do it, but God would actually allow this man to do this?
Well, for one thing, the Exodus 22:18 is very clear, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. They were not to have a medium or a witch or a soothsayer or an astrologer in their midst. All of that dabbled with, diabolical demons and false gods, and he didn't want them to be involved in that. King Saul had grieved away the Holy Spirit, and I believe you read about this in 1 Samuel 28, and Saul was not supposed to go to a witch. He had to get someone to find out kind of on the black market where he could find one because he had chased them all out of the land. But when the Lord would not speak to Saul because he grieved away the spirit, he got this lady, this witch of Endor, who ostensibly created or conjured up this apparition. Saul never saw it. It says he had to ask the woman, what does he look like? And so this woman basically, you know, went through all the tricks of the trade that working with devils created an illusion that discouraged Saul so much he committed suicide the next day. So the very fact that everything went bad when he went to the witch is evidence that this was not of God. The witch did not resurrect Samuel the prophet. She probably was working with demons that created some apparition.
You know, the Bible's quite clear that the devil...
How did these demons actually know? I mean, because didn't the demon actually tell him what God had also told him through Saul, that Saul said, you know, or the prophet? I mean, so how did these demons know this stuff?
Well, you remember the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, no wonder, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So, you know, the devil is very powerful. His demons are very powerful. They watch, they hear, and then they can appear as a dead loved one or as a dead prophet, in this case with Saul, and they can speak things that sound familiar that might even contain a certain degree of truth. Mm-hmm. But then ultimately it leads to devastation and, in Saul's case, death.
Yeah, so the devil, of course, knew what God had told Saul because he said it publicly through a prophet. So he had a record of all that. And the devil can just, you know, record and replay those things at his discretion. So we do have a lesson that talks about this very scripture, and it's in the lesson, I believe, Are the Dead Really Dead? It's a supplemental note in there on what happened with this. We'll send that to you for free.
If you call our resource line, Jane, it's 800-835-6747, and ask for the study guide, Are the Dead Really Dead? We'll be happy to send that out to you.
Oh, pardon me, there's one more lesson. She's also really asking about witches, and that's our lesson dealing with, does God inspire psychics and astrologers?
That's right. Ask for that one as well. Does God inspire astrologists and psychics? Either one. Ask for both. Are the dead really dead, and does God inspire psychics?
Or read them both online.
That's right. All right, next caller is Sarah, and she's calling from Detroit, Michigan. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is, no, actually, I had two questions, but you answered the first one, and they told me I could only, you know, only ask one. So my second question is about the Jews. I don't really know how to word it. I don't want to offend anyone or anything. I've always wanted to know, and I never really understood why they, I know there's issues all over the world.
Right.
But for God to have chose that line, if I'm correct, for him to come down through and for them to be going through all of the things that they went through, it really started when I went and visited a Holocaust center at 11, and it's just been with me forever. And I just wanted to know, is this like a generational curse for the Jews? Because with his crucifixion, you know, watching the shows, watching the best story ever told and shows like that, it's always been said that those were the Jews and that were screaming, yes, hang Jesus, and, you know,
well,
these are his people.
I think I understand your question, Sarah. Let me share with you. And, you know, when Mel Gibson came out with his movie dealing with Jesus, there was quite a bit of furor among the Jewish community. They thought that it was an anti-Semitic movie. And while I'm half Jewish, I thought to myself, they're just trying to tell the history. It is true that there were Jewish people instrumental in having Jesus crucified. It's also true that the hero of the whole story was Jewish, and all the authors of the Bible, with the exception of Luke, are Jewish, and the apostles were all Jewish. So when you tell the story of Jesus coming through the Jewish nation, and some loved him and some hated him, that doesn't cast all the Jews in a bad light, because every Christian believer in the world today uses a Jewish book as their constitution. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the Jewish nation really became a vehicle through which God showed this great battle between good and evil. The greatest heroes in the Bible are Jewish. And some of the greatest villains, you know, like Judas and others, were Jewish. So you're going to have good and bad all through the Jewish story. You got King David, and you've got, you know, Judas. You got all the good and the bad in there, and of course, Jesus himself. So as far as the Jewish nation, it is a fact that sometimes people will suffer for generations because of decisions that their ancestors make. That's just cause and effect. And, you know, obviously the Jews are in some respect a very unique nation now when you look at their size in comparison with the burgeoning real estate that the, you know, many of their Arab enemies have. It's a miracle that they are surviving right now. So, a very interesting study. You would also appreciate the book that I co-authored with Steve Wolberg on spiritual Israel. It talks about some of this. Sarah, we'll send you a free copy.
Again, the number to call is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book Spiritual Israel, and we'll be happy to send that out. Our next call is Mary, and she is calling from Missouri. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Hi, pastors. The reason I called is this. I know you get asked this question a lot, but it's about Sunday worship, about the Sabbath being on Saturday, like it says in the Ten Commandments.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading the USA in Bible Prophecy, where it says the Catholic Church changed that 127 years ago.
Well,
and I was...
That the Catholic Church changed what, the Sabbath?
The Sabbath to Sunday.
Well, it wasn't 127 years ago. So I'm
it wasn't?
You know, it's actually the change from the church worshiping on Saturday to Sunday is something that really happened during the first 2-3 centuries of the church's history. And all of the Christians all worshiped on the Sabbath day when you read the New Testament. Now, you can worship God 7 days a week. We ought to do that. But as far as the day they kept as the Sabbath, it was always the seventh day. Gradually what happened, though, as the church headquarters sort of moved to Rome, which, you know, eventually the Roman Catholic Church grew up there, but as the church headquarters moved to Rome back in the days of Peter and Paul, and the church began to grow with the conversion of Constantine, Constantine is the one who kind of established Sunday as a national day of rest with his Edict of Milan in 313 A.D., or is it 321? I think maybe 321.
Right around from 303 onwards,
yeah.
See a change.
And then at the same time, the Jews had become very unpopular in the Roman Empire. And so many of the Christians, in order to be more attractive to the pagans that worshipped on the first day of the week, and to distance themselves from these Jews who had become very unpopular, they began to shift away from the seventh-day Sabbath more to the first day, Sunday. And that change, I think, probably took 200 years. But the Catholics freely admit that they were responsible for the change. They put it in writing, finally.
You know, Mary, we've got a website called sabbathtruth.com. It's an excellent
website.
I don't have
a computer.
Oh, you don't?
We've got a book on it.
We got a
from
book.
From Sabbath to Sunday.
From Sabbath to Sunday, we can send you. Let me give you the number. It's 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. And then also, Mary, for all of those who are listening, maybe there's somebody that you can share this with, sabbathtruth.com. If you go to the website, there is a series of 7 documentary videos, outstanding, giving you the history of the Sabbath and the change that took place, how it happened. It's very well done. So sabbathtruth.com is the website as well.
Oh, well, let me write that
actually,
down.
Sabbathtruth.com.
Or
sabbathtruth.net. It's probably the most popular Sabbath website in the world right now. By the way, I gave you the wrong title for the book. The book that we'll send you is called Is Sunday Really Sacred? It gives the history. There is another good book called Sabbath from Sunday, but it's not in this library. The Is Sunday Really Sacred? And we'll send you a free copy of that.
Okay, well, thank you
tells
very
the
much
history
for
of
your
the change.
Answers.
You're welcome.
Next call is Charles, and he's calling from Sacramento. Charles, you're on the air.
Yes.
And your question?
Yes, my question is I was baptized as a Christian many years ago, and I was calling to see, and then I got involved actually in another organization, but I was wondering if my baptism is still valid, because now I'm back in the original organization that I started with years ago. So I'm wondering if I have to get baptized over again.
Well, I don't know, maybe. There is biblical grounds for rebaptism, and there are three reasons. Most common is if a person is baptized, but not biblically. Sometimes people are sprinkled as babies, and they've really never, you know, repented and accepted Jesus and been taught and baptized by immersion as Christ was and as the Bible teaches. The second reason is for rebaptism is if a person has gone through some major denial of the truth and backslidden. If they're going to come back to the Lord, they need to be remarried. If they've divorced Jesus publicly, they need to make a public recommitment, and baptism would be appropriate. And then the third reason, you find an example for this in Acts chapter 19, is if a person's come into a whole new understanding of what the truth is, as in that example, there it might be appropriate to be rebaptized. You know, someone doesn't want to... Now, were you baptized by immersion when you were first baptized?
Yes, I was.
Well, then, you know, you can maybe come back to the Lord and do it through a profession of faith. Just publicly say, you know, I've drifted from the truth and I want to come back now. And if the Spirit's working on you, you may want to get a whole new beginning with rebaptism. And
okay.
That's something you'd want to talk to your pastor about.
Yeah, it's definitely not something that, you know, God can't bless. Whenever we make that public confession and we are baptized, now you don't want to be baptized every time you make a mistake. But there are those occasions where a person might wander away from the Lord and get reconverted and come back, and then rebaptism is appropriate.
We have a book,
okay.
I think, we'll give you a little more on that. We'll send you free, or you can read online. It's called Baptism, Is It Really Necessary? And I believe this book also addresses rebaptism.
The number again is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book, Baptism, Is It Really Necessary? Our next caller is Ronnie, and he's calling from New York. Ronnie, welcome to the program.
Hello?
You're on, Ronnie. Your Bible question.
Oh, great. Yeah, my question is whether or not it's scriptural to learn as much as you can about Christianity within your lifetime.
Well, when we get to heaven, or when we're resurrected, or if we're alive when the Lord comes, we take with us who we are. So education goes on through eternity. Everything we learn about Christianity is really learning something about Christ. And the greatest field of study through eternity is going to be studying about Jesus. And so I'd say the more you study about the truth in Christ in this life, you're going to be ahead of the game in the next. And it will help
right.
you in this life. So I'd say absolutely. The greatest study in the world is theology, the study of God. What's greater than God? What's greater than the character of Christ as a field of study? I'd say by all means.
You know, you can study the Bible for many, many years, and yet there's still untold mysteries and gems of truth that you can still discover. The more you study, the more you learn.
Yeah, there's no submarine they've made that will go to the depths of God's knowledge in the Bible. It just gets deeper and deeper, and it's amazing.
Great.
So,
you know, you'll appreciate the book that we offered at the beginning of the program called The Ultimate Resource, Dealing with the Bible. You'll find it very helpful. The number is 1-800-835-6747. That is our resource line. And ask for the book, Ronnie, The Ultimate Resource, talking about the Bible.
Yeah, and one more thing, since you sound like you're really interested in studying, we've got a Bible study course. It's free. You can do it online. If you do that course, Ronnie, it will change your life. Everyone that's gone through that course writes us back and says, where have I been? It's called the Amazing Facts Bible Study Course, and the first lesson deals with the Bible, and it's called Is There Anything Left You Can Trust? You do that lesson, and I think you can go to Bible Universe.
Or you can go to AmazingFacts.com, and there is a link that says sign up for the free online Bible school.
Right.
Yeah, I actually had just done that because I ordered the Spiritual Israel before.
Oh, good. Good for you.
Yeah.
You go through that study course. It'll change your life, I promise. Thanks for your call.
Our next caller is Joan, and she's calling from New York, listening at WMCA. Joan, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening earlier, and I heard you spoken May 21st.
Yes.
Harold Camping prophecy. And you said that you set up a website after May 21st.
Yes. Now, were you somebody who was listening to Harold Camping and wondering about
this?
Oh, no,
not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
But you may know somebody.
I was just I was kind of happy when I heard you said that you set up a website.
We
that
did.
Says after May 21st
after,
to help people.
AfterMay21.com.
Oh, yes.
AfterMay21.com.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I really applaud you for that. When did you set up that website?
Oh, I think we didn't get it finalized until last week. But we've had some material up. We actually did a message back in February because we saw how many people were getting confused about this. And so we had a DVD available, and there was so much demand for that, we thought we ought to just get a whole website before this date comes. Our concern was, where are people going to go afterward? Because we knew what was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And we want to have material so they don't give up on their faith, they don't give up on Christ. And so if you know anybody that's been, or anyone uh-huh. listening, if you know somebody that's been discouraged or was getting caught up in this false teaching about the judgment day mm-hmm. that was supposed to transpire yesterday, tell them to go to May 21. We've got a video there. By the way, our team went to Oakland and interviewed Harold Camping last week. He was kind enough to give us a face-to-face interview, and we have footage from that interview with Harold Camping at that website. And so we asked a lot of questions, and we want to do a follow-up interview now and find out what he's going to say about this obviously
okay,
not happening.
Okay, so you guys were working behind the scene. Yes, that was really my concern, because I was saying, that's what I was talking to myself. I'm saying, you know, I did my little part that I could do. I'm not like in ministry
right.
Official like you guys and who have maybe that platform. And I was saying that it's only this one man that I really heard and the radio that dedicates two programs at least that I listen to. To that concern, and
well,
I did my part in telling others
you.
Because we believe and we know that the 21st wasn't the end, and I'm
That's
saying
right.
we are
hey
those
Joan, we're about to
pastors.
Go off the air. I didn't want to cut you off. We're running out of time. We got the background music. We really thank you for your call. And listening friends, we hope that you will tell your friends. If you know anyone who's been discouraged by this false prophecy about Judgment Day, go to AfterMay21.com. Keep in mind, we are a Bible ministry that needs your continued help as well. God bless you, friends.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Does everyone go straight to heaven when they die, and hell, does anybody really go there? Is there a world between where spirits of the dead hover just out of sight? Learn the hidden truth about death and beyond. Will we see a nuclear Armageddon? Will millions disappear off the scene? Find out the hidden truth about the final days on planet Earth. The Amazing Facts Hidden Truth magazine reveals Bible secrets and separates scriptural fact from religious fiction. Easy to read and full of truly amazing facts, this eye-catching magazine is fascinating reading for all ages. Available for just $2, the Hidden Truth magazine can be yours today. Call 1-800-835-6747 and ask for offer 262. Did a loving God make a devil? Is there any actual evidence that the Bible is inspired? Get your copy of the Hidden Truth magazine today. That number again is 1-800-835-6747. If you've enjoyed this broadcast and would like to know more about what the Bible teaches, sign up for the Amazing Facts free Bible course. Go to www.bibleuniverse.com or call 1-800-835-6747 and ask to enroll in our free Bible course. 1-800-835-6747.